So after wishing everyone Shavua Tov, what we have here in front of us, we have two Gemaras. One is in Shabbos on Daf Kuvav Amud Aleph, and the other is in Sanhedrin on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis. And our goal for today is to try to zoom in on these two sources. And see, I have photocopies there on the desk. Okay, great.
Which Gemara is
it? So you should have again. I think most of you were here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this you can take for yourself, David, if you need it.
That's Shabbat.
Yeah, you have it already.
I don't have it.
So you need it? So you want to take it?
There's only Shabbat here, bro.
So you have Shabbat, and I made copies of Sanhedrin. Yeah, I'm just afraid that they might have. Okay, hold on to this. Oh, that you have. And Sanhedrin, you don't have.
Sanhedrin,
you have. Okay.
I need Sanhedrin.
Okay, here's. Sorry. It's a logistical problem that I have, which I don't know how to solve.
Yeah, anybody else need Sanhedrin? Going once, going twice.
Yeah.
And here's the original Shabbos if you need it.
Okay. So what we're trying to figure out is the rule, and even more central, the exception to the rule of Mekalkel. Morning to the Hawaii. Do you have a chair there? Okay. So what goes on with Mekalkel? The Gemara establishes that Mekalkel is potter. In fact, the Mishnah says, Kol HaMekalkel and Peturin, without exception. So if I do a destructive act on Shabbos, no matter which one of the 39 Malachas, according to the Mishnah, it says, Kol HaMekalkel and Peturin. Then Rabbi Avo comes along here in Shabbos Daf Kuf Vav with a brisa that says chutz, and he has two exceptions, and he has chovel umavir. These two cases, according to the brisa of Rabbi Avo, are chayav even b'mekalkel. Rabbi Yochanan initially rejects this. He finds it intolerable almost to accept that two malachas could be chayav b'mekalkel, and therefore he says puk toni levrayin o mishnah. The price of Rabbi Avo is not accurate, and it shouldn't be allowed into the base medrash. Then, strangely, paradoxically, Rabbi Yochanan makes an effort to reinstate this price, and he says that if this price is meant to be a mishnah, meaning it's meant to be studied and it's valid, then it's got to be cases where chovel umavir have an element. I'm choosing my words carefully here. Have an element of tikkun, and he gives two examples. How could you have chovel where you're beating someone up and it could have an element of tikkun? How can you have mavir where you're burning someone's haystack and it could have an element of tikkun? So who remembers the presentation of Rabbi Yochanan? Anybody want to? Don't all, you know, volunteer at the same time because Trey Coley loves Shtaboy. Yeah. Right, he needs the dam for his kelev. Okay, it's a very strange case, but that's what he has.
And
Afer, right, he needs the Afer, he needs the ashes. So Rashi points out that this is what you call a knapper tikkun. I mean, it's not a real tikkun. It's a knap, you know. It's like a fallback kind of tikkun. In truth, you know, when you bash someone and you extract his blood for the purpose of feeding your kelev, that's a molechas kilkul, essentially. But Rashi introduces a new concept, and Rashi says it's tikkun eitzel acherim. Meaning, we can isolate the guf ha-malacha, the malacha itself. In other words, the object of this malacha is the person who's been victimized, or in the case of the haystack that went up in smoke. And from that perspective, it's pure mekalkel. what Rabbi Yochanan is adding here as a new element into the equation is called metaken etzel acherim. Although the guf hamalacha is kilkul, it's really a destructive kilkul, but he has some sort of benefit in mind. Etzel acherim, for example, he can feed the dog, or he can use the ashes now to fry his egg. And that itself, says Rabbi Yochanan, would effectively add the element of tikkun into meleches chov el u'mavir. So just to summarize, we have Rabbi Avo on the one hand. Rabbi Avo says that chov el u'mavir do not require tikkun, and paradoxically yachayev for kilkul. And Rabbi Yochanan says no. If there is such a thing that in Mavir and Chovil Yechayev, despite the fact that it's Kilkul, that means it's a Kilkul Begufa Shal Malach, in the essence of the Malach. You know, if I break this table down, that's a Kilkul. I might get side benefits, but that's Tikkun Etzel Acherim. And Rabbi Yochanan says that I can perhaps set up this kind of broader definition of Tikkun based on Tikkun Etzel Acherim to justify the Bryce's conclusion that you be chayev in Chovil Mavir, either because you need it for this, you need it for that. These are all side extraneous benefits that you get from the Malach. Now, the Gemara at this point goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Kol Hamakalkalin Pturim, without any exception. That means even Chovel Umavir is Potur in a case of Mekalkel. So the Gemara suggests that maybe, just maybe, we could justify the mission of Kol HaMekalkel Pturim by introducing Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas the Braisa that says that Chovel Umavir are the exceptions, and in those cases you would be what? You would be chayv, even though it's a makalkil. That's Rav Shimon. And Rashi points out lois parish heich. We don't know where this Rav Shimon is and where this Rav Yehuda is. The Gemara doesn't quote any source or any formulation of the debate here between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. So we have to, says Rashi, rack our brains and come up with some well-known opinion of Rav Shimon that's going to justify why in the case of Chovel Mavir the law is different, and we're going to have to come up with some well-known, well-trodden shita of Rabbi Yehuda to explain why Kol HaMekalkel Peturim and even Chovel Mavir is potter. So this is what Rashi sets as his goal. Now Rashi takes the jump and he says that which Rabbi Yehuda and which Rabbi Shimon is this? This is Rabbi Yehuda of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, and this is Rabbi Shimon of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa Potter. So Rabbi Yehuda holds Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa Chayev, and Rabbi Shimon says Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Potter. Now here's the paradox. Rashi's going to claim that Rabbi Shimon in Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, who's Mekil, is going to be the machmir when it comes to Chovel Mavir. And Rabbi Yehuda, who's the machmir in Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, and he says Yechayev, he's paradoxically going to be the mekil with regard to Chovel Mavir. So that it comes out like this. According to Rabbi Shimon, who holds Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa Potur, in Chovel Mavir, Yechayev, even if it's a pure kilkul. And that's the Mishnah, I'm sorry, that's the Brice of Rabbi Avo that says Chutz v'chovel u'mavir, where you chayv even though it's kilkul. And Rabbi Yehuda holds Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is chayv. He's going to hold that in chovel u'mavir you're not chayv unless you have a tikkun, unless you have a tzorech. And what is that tzorech? Litzorech kalbo and litzorech efer. How does Rashi achieve this goal? Because it seems that Rashi is turning everything upside down and inside out. So Rashi presents the following thesis. Rashi says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can convert a meleches chovel or a meleches mavir into a tikkun. Rabbi Yehuda has that luxury, has that option. Rabbi Shimon does not. Meaning, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are faced with the same problem. according to Rashi. What problem was thrown out in front of both Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon out there in the Beis Medrash? How do we justify that on the list of 39 malachas is Chovel Mavir? We have a principle that Makalkel is Potter. Chovel Mavir by its very nature is Makalkel. What does it mean by its very nature? Begufa Shal Malacha. If we emphasize and isolate the Gufa Malacha, the object which is either being attacked and wounded, or the object that's being burnt, in both cases we have Kilkel. So how could the Torah add Mekalkel and Mavir to the list of 39 Malachas? The only one between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon who has an option of justifying Mavir and Chovel as Malachas within the context of Kol HaMekalkel and Peturin is Rav Yehuda. Why? Because Rav Yehuda holds Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa Chayav. What is Rav Yehuda accomplishing by saying Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa Chayev?
He's allowing those exceptions.
Why? Because, again, what was the key word that we had last week? Do you remember? That we wanted to put in neon lights. Tzorech, correct, Tzorech. Right? And Rav Yehuda has the expanded definition of Tzorech. Rav Yehuda is willing to say that even though it's not L'Tzorech Gufa, but as Rashi points out, it is L'Tzorech. Meaning, as far as the Malacha itself, if I would isolate the Malacha, there's no Tzorech for this Malacha. But I get a benefit from it. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that if I get a benefit from it, that's enough to upgrade the Malacha to a Malacha Hatzricha. Not Lagufa, but Hatzricha. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says that Malacha Hatzricha low is already a Malacha. Rav Shimon says, no, you need Hatzricha Lagufa. Says Rashi, according to Rav Yehuda, we now have a very fine possibility, a luxury item, I call it, of being able to justify why Chovel and Mavir are considered malachos. Why? Because what determines whether it's Kilkul or Tikkun? It's Tzorech. Does it have a Tzorech? Comes along Rav Yehuda and he says, well, my personal Tzorech is valid according to the Torah. And in Hilchas Shabbos, my individual subjective tzorech upgrades the malach into a malach atzricha, and he doesn't need gufa. And Rashi identifies that with the concept of tikkun hu etzel acherim. In other words, acherim here is any side benefit, any external benefit that I gain from this malacha. That itself is valid according to the Torah, and that's called tzricha. And Rabbi Yehuda now is able to take Chovel Umavir, and with his ammunition in his back pocket, namely his broader definition of Tzorech, he's able to convert those two Malachos into Malachas Tikkun. From Malachas Kilkul to Malachas Tikkun. Ah, you'll ask Rabbi Yehuda the question, it is a Malachas Kilkul. I'm victimizing someone by wounding him. I'm burning someone's haystack down. It's up in smoke. That certainly is Begufa a Kilkul. Says Rabbi Yehuda, there's another element of Tzorech which broadens our definition that is also valid. And that's my Tzorech. If I can benefit from this wounding because I take the blood and I now feed it to my dog, I take the ashes and I use it to heat up my egg, that itself is called L'Tzorech. And Rashi insists that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that element of L'Tzorech is capable to successfully transform a Kilkul into a Tikkun. Yes, so,
I think we touched upon this last week, but it still doesn't explain why only these two out of the 39. Why couldn't the other 37 also have a tzricha or tzorech, so that it also could be
Enochinami? And we have this question that basically, according to Rashi, what we're saying about Chovel and Mavir is nothing different than what we'd say about every one of the Malachas. Don points out very beautifully, all 37 Malachas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, will lend themselves to qualifying as a Malach as long as he has this broadened Tzorech, which is Tikkuni Eitzel Acherin. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa Chayav. In other words, it comes out according to Rashi that there's no such thing as chutz mi chovel u'mavir. That's really, chovel u'mavir are not exceptions to the rule, they're rather specific cases in which we apply the rule. They are applications of the rule rather than exceptions to the rule, because basically the rule is that malach shein tzrich l'gufa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is chayav. And that's exactly what happens with chovel u'mavir. So the best that we can do at this point is to say the following, that the chutz michovel ma'avir means that with regard to other malachas, those malachas are essentially malachas tikkun. 37 out of 39 are constructive by their very nature. I don't need Rabbi Yehuda to step up to the plate, so to speak, and tell me that these malachos are malachas tikkun. They are malachas tikkun. There's no chiddush here. The chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda, which is formulated in this brisa I shouldn't say that, because again, the brisa is going to be authored by Rabbi Shimon. But the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda is that in Chovil Umavir, I can take a malacha which is essentially kilkul, and it's 99 out of 100 cases this malacha is a kilkul. Well, I'm wounding someone and squeezing out his dam, right? I am destroying an object that has value in the market. That's mafia. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and he says, but in the light of the principle that we apply to the other 37 malachas, which has nothing to do with kilkul really per se, because the other 37 malachas are essentially malachas tikkun by their very nature. But the question is, where's my tzorech? Meaning, Rabbi, again, I just want to reiterate another point that it's a little bit on the side, but very relevant to us now, that Rashi insists that even Rabbi Yehuda accepts the principle of malachas machsheves, which means I need a machshava and a kavana for the malach. It wasn't like Rabbi Yehuda dropped the ball and said, we don't need a malachas machsheves. The chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda is that malachas machsheves could be achieved even by a tzorech that's tikkun eitz al acher, meaning even by a tzorech that's not begufa shel malach. But Rabbi Yehuda likewise requires what? Tzorech. So with regard to the other 37 malachas, Rabbi Yehuda has a principle called tzorech. Now, in the cases of Chovil Mavir, tzorech plays a very unique role. Why? Because these are two malachas that essentially, in 99 out of 100 cases, are what? Malachas kilkul. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says, in the light of my expanded definition of tzorech, I can transform these two malachas from malachas kilkul into malachas tikkun. How? Because of my tzorech.
And then that's also good to take away the gufa shal the malacha?
Because Rabbi Yehuda never requires gufa shal malacha. Rabbi Yehuda requires tzorech, and tzorech means my personal benefit from it. So for example, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if a person doesn't need a hole in the ground to plant, but nevertheless he needs the hole in the ground because he's removing the dirt in order to fill up his flower pot, that's hachofer guma v'yein tzorech el liafra, Rabbi Yehuda would say he's chayav. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say he's chayav? And the answer is because he has a tzorech. If he has a tzorech, that's sufficient to make it into a malachat sricha. And even though it's not legufa, legufa means the hole for planting, it doesn't matter. Rabbi Yehuda drops that requirement. Now, paradoxically, Rabbi Yehuda's the machmir in Hilcha Shabbos becomes the mekil in Chovil Umavir. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda's basic premise with regard to Chovil, fundamental premise with regard to Chovil Umavir, that these are malachas tikkun and you should be patur. But Rabbi Yehuda says, if and when you need these two malachas in those crazy cases, then you're chayav. But in the absence of your tzorech l'dam l'kalbo or afer and so forth, then you're potter. Why? Because the universal principle of makalkil potter applies straight across the board, without exception, in an absolute way, even with regard to Chovil Mavir. Ad kan hakof alef, that's Rabbi Yehuda. What we haven't yet addressed is Rabbi Shimon. So don't ask me any questions for Rabbi Shimon. I'm about to present Rabbi Shimon. Just 1 second. Joseph, you wanted it before.
I was going to ask on Rabbi Shimon as well.
Yeah, so wait, give me another minute to present Rabbi Shimon, because I'm going to go into Rashi. Rashi first presents Rabbi Yehuda.
Going back to my original question, your example of Guma, it's not a malacha.
Oh, okay. So that's a Tosfos Rid. Is that what you mean? Where he says ain't a malacha? Yeah, okay. So again, you know, we can't do everything in one shot. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. So you're right. The Tosfos Rid insists that Chofer Guma is totally different, and it wasn't really a great example. So let's give the following example then in place, just to make Manny happy on his last day here. So we wanted to leave here with a smile on his face. That let's say you want to get rid of something from your Rishus HaYochid, and you don't care where it lands in Rishus HaRab. Okay? So Rabbi Yehuda says, it doesn't matter. You're chayev in this case. Why? Because you have a tzorech. What is your tzorech? Your tzorach is to get this from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim. It doesn't matter, even though you don't have kavanas. Makom Mesuyam, Anochas Makom Mesuyam, Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayef. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda validates this broader definition of tzorech that allows, even when I don't need the guf amalacha, because the guf amalacha is to take, if you remember the krushim in the Mishkan, and pass them on to a specific agola, and that agola would carry the krushim vita, you know, along the way. I don't have that tzorech. Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayef anyway. Why? Because you need the malacha. Ah, if Rabbi Yehuda allows for this broader definition of tzorech, then guess what opportunity, what window of opportunity opens up for Rabbi Yehuda? He can now justify why chovil mavir, which are essentially malachos of kilkul, are indeed, in certain specific scenarios, malachos of tikkun. And therefore, he's going to admit that if you were chovil umavir in the 99% of all cases, without any tzarech whatsoever, you're potter because of the universal rule of makalkil, kol makalkil and p'turim, which includes even chovil umavir. But Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow for two cases, two scenarios in which you're chai for these two malachas respectively, because you have that broader definition of tzarech, which is not l'tzarech gufo. You know, the haystack is going up in smoke, that's pure destruction. The guy, the victim, is bleeding, right? But that's pure destructive. But you have a tzorech, which Rashi calls tikkun etzel acherim. Now Rabbi Yehuda can apply his principle of malach shen tzricha legufa to the cases of chovil mavir and upgrade them to the status of malachas tikkun. Why? Because he needs it. What he needs is, it has nothing to do with gufa shel malacha. That's Rabbi Yehuda's sheet of the Torah. In Hilchos Shabbos, validated any tzorech that you have, even if it's not l'tzorech gufa. That's Hakofa Aleph in Rashi. Rashi's not finished. He's halfway there. Now Rashi has to answer another question. What about Rav Shimon? According to Rav Shimon, the Gemara insists that Chovil Mavir are going to be chayav, even though it's pure kilkul. There's no element of tzorech ledam, no element of tzorech liefer. He's chayav. Now we have obviously a conceptual problem here. You know, why is it then two out of the four, you know, the 39 malachas, you know, all of a sudden you're chayav from lechas kilkul? That's itself needs some sort of source. I mean, that's like a crazy conclusion. We also have a textual problem because the mission itself says that kol amakalkul p'turim without exception. So what do we do with chovil mavir? Okay, so then we're going to say that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. And then we have the Brice of Rabbi Avoh, Chutz Michovil Umavir. That's authored by Rabbi Shimon. Says Rashi the following. According to Rabbi Shimon, we don't have that golden window of opportunity that we had according to Rabbi Yehuda. That window is closed. We don't have a broader definition of Torah. We're left with the most narrow definition of Torah, which means the Torah gufa, in terms of the malach itself, not some sort of side external benefit. But what did I get from the malach? If I didn't get anything from the malach, if I dug this hole and I'm not planting, if I took the mess out of my house, but I couldn't care less where I put it down, in all those cases, Rav Shimon says you're potter. Now Rav Shimon has a problem. He had the same problem as Rav Yehuda had. How do we justify that Chovil Umavir are two malachas on the list of 39 when inherently and essentially these are malachas kilkul? He had that problem too. Just Rav Yehuda had a solution to that problem. It was B'tzarch L'Kalbo or it was B'tzarch L'Afro. Rav Shimon doesn't have that window of opportunity. He doesn't have the possibility to avail himself of that luxury item, which I call the broader definition of Litzor, because Reb Shimon holds that the Torah never validated the broader definition of Litzor. Hence, Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa Kointer Reb Shimon is Potur. So what do we do with Chovil Umavir? We're going to have to assume that Chovil Umavir are Chayev, despite the fact that the Malach is Kilkul. Because what are you going to do? You're going to tell me, well, he needed it for his Kelet. Well, he needed it for the Afer. That's not going to help Rav Shimon. It still remains Shalol Litzorach. And if it's Shalol Litzorach, it's a Malachas Kilkul. But the Torah says Yechai. What do you mean the Torah says Yechai? Where did the Torah say Yechai?
It's a Malachas.
Oh, it's listed in the Malachas, but how did the Mishnah itself, Rav Yehuda Nasi, authored the Mishnah, I mean, based on, obviously, a whole Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh that came before him. He didn't come Yesh Me'ayin. But how did the Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh come to this conclusion? It seems ridiculous to take two malachas and say that you're chayav for kilkul. So Berzon is not asking this. I mean, this is not an original question here. The Gemara asks this question. That's what I want you to see inside here on Daf Kuf Vav Haman Aleph. And the Gemara says, my time with the Reb Shimon. If you're counting from the, I don't know, should we count from the top or from the bottom? It's smack in the middle of Kuf Vav Haman Aleph. One, two, we'll count from the top, okay? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. 10 lines down from the top. You have it?
Yeah.
Again, David, you have a different this, so I don't know how to help you. Oh, you have the same page? Yeah. All right, but you found it. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, my time with the Rabbi Shimon. Again, Rabbi Shimon went so far. The two malachas out of 39 for which you chayev, even though they are malachas kilku. Why? So he says, you know what? I'm not sure if I can answer the question why on a philosophical level, but at least I can answer the question where does it come from? What's the source for this? And it's not enough just to say it's a Mishnah. Yeah, for sure it's a Mishnah, according to Rav Shimon's interpretation of that Mishnah. But you have to go beyond that. You have to find the source. How did the Mishnah itself know that these two malachas are so unique that you're chayav, even though they are essentially what kind of malachas? Kilkul. Number one, mida itzra kra l'mishrei mila. We have a special pasuk b'yom haShabbos. It says b'yom haShmini. Yimol Basar Arlos Afilu B'Shabbos, the Gemara says. So it means that if not for the Afilu B'Shabbos, Mila would be prohibited on Shabbos. And what's the malach of Mila? Chovel, drawing blood. Chovel B'Alma, meaning if it wasn't Shabbos, if it wasn't Mila, I should say, if it wasn't Mila, that's called Chovel B'Alma. B'Alma means the general case of Chovel. Chayim. The Torah would not have needed a special heter, a special granting of permission to allow meal on Shabbos unless Chovel would have been chayav as a malacha. Now, in this case, the Chovel is a makalkel. Now again, keep your brains, you know, working here. Is Mila really a makalkel? Okay, I don't want to get into that yet, but because I hate to call Mila a makalkel. You know, I even though the mile doesn't officially charge anything, but you know, it's anywhere between 500 and 1,000 shekels. So you know, I'm hoping he's not being makalkel. I mean, if he is, then we're gonna fire him and sue him for damages. But anyway, the Gemara assumes that Chovel is a makalkel by its very nature. Again, in a physical sense, it's called a makalkel. And number two, mida asa rachmana havara gabi bas kohen. Again, we'll have to see all the psukim inside, but just to get the surface level, the Torah says that you're not allowed to implement the death penalty of sreifa on Shabbos. That's called Havara, to light the fire in order to implement the death penalty. Again, it's not something pleasant that we want to think about, but the halacha doesn't flinch on this. And you would not be allowed to do this for the sake of punishment. In other words, there was a havamina here that maybe for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of punishing the criminal, in this case the capital crime of Bas Kohen Shezinsa, terrible aver, and the Torah says it's a capital crime, you would want to implement that punishment even on Shabbos. But the Torah says you're not allowed to do it. Why aren't you allowed to do it? So what if it's Shabbos? Any other day of the week you would do it, you would implement the death penalty through Sreifa, why not on Shabbos? The only answer I can come up with is because Mavir is a Melech Shabbos. And that's what the Gemara says, Mavir bi Shma Mino, we can derive from this, that Mavir bi Alma, if it wasn't this particular case of Shabbos, where you're implementing an Onesh and the Torah says no Onshim on Shabbos, then Chayev, he would be Chayev for it. The Torah is telling you don't implement this Onesh on Shabbos because of the Malacha of Mavir. And right now, at this point, the Gemara maintains that in both of these cases of Mila and Sreifas Bas Kohen, these are two malachos that are essentially kilkul. Again, if you look at the object or the victim, I should say, because we're talking about two human beings in both of these cases. In the case of Mila, the so-called victim or the person is losing blood. Okay, let's just say it that way. He's being weakened by the Mila. The child is weak. And in the case of Sreifa, she's going to die as a result of the Sreifa. Obviously, that's pure Kilkul. Says Reb Shimon, if that's Kilkul, then why did the Torah have to tell you that you're not allowed to do it, or that you wouldn't be allowed to do it except for the special license on Shabbos? Can we, Herb, you want to join us? Should we get a chair for you?
Well, is this the Chumash year?
The Chumash year is at 11 o'clock. What time is it now?
10.
Yeah. So you can join us for Shabbos if you want, or you can join us at 11 for Chumash. I sent that, somebody helped me make this beautiful, what do you call it, tavla in English?
What's it called?
A chart. A table, you know. So if you look at the table, you know, you should, maybe I should print it out and then folk. So Rav Ose, let me just review the last point. Does Rav Shimon derive, or for that matter, the Mishnayis, even before Rav Shimon, derive the conclusion that Chovil Mavir Achayev, even as a Meleches Kilkul, from north, from nowhere? No. We need sources. Again, we're going to have to work very hard to understand the two sources. There's a source for Meleches Chovil that Yechayev on Shabbos, despite the fact that it's Kilkul. There's a source for Meleches Mavir that Yechayev, even though it's a Kilkul. And that's where Reb Shimon derives it from. Reb Yehuda says no. Chovil and Mavir have a Tikkun element. That's because Reb Yehuda L'shita, so in Melech Shein Tzrichu Gufa, has a broader definition of Tzorech, which allows for feeding his dog, or putting his egg into the egg. Yeah, Joseph, you're up. No?
So, if I understand, Rav Shimon, by bringing these two examples, is still saying that even though Mekako is Pater, but Chovel Maver,
Yechayev. Yeah. And the Torah says so. Why? I can't answer that question.
You can answer.
I can only say that I derived it from these two sources.
From these two sources.
Right. Okay. But when I said to say why, in other words, if you ask me philosophically, why is that 37 out of 39 malachas require tikkun and 2 out of 39 don't? Maybe it has to do with the substantial impact of these two malachas that somehow they stand out amongst the entire. I don't know.
I mean, like Soter is a destructive act. Right, Soter is one of the lamentet. So,
but yeah, you're not chayef for Soter. You're only chayef for Soter. In what case?
I'm not livno.
So you Soter. Soter, in a certain sense, then will disprove the thesis of Reb Shimon, because if Reb Shimon's thesis is that these two powerful malachas are chayev even though they're kilkul, because sometimes the kilkul is so great that the Torah considers it a malacha because of the profound nature of the kilkul, then what about Soter? And yet you're not chayef for Soter.
This last piece of Gemara just bothers me, because first off, we said before with Kriya that when someone did a kilkul that was a mitzvah, they could still be yotze, but it would be considered letzorah, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me. But in any case, I'm...
So wait, let me just reiterate Shmuel's question, which is going to come up right now. The sugya, the Gemara is going to say that if there's a kiyum ha-mitzvah, the kiyum ha-mitzvah converts a meleches kilkul into a meleches tikkun. What kiyum ha-mitzvah could be greater than that of mitzvah's milah?
Not only that, I'm also annoyed at this base deed. Why they want to... I thought Batei Din don't operate on Shabbat. And so,
okay,
now,
so that,
why would this bat kohen broke Shabbat if doing the mitzvah is going to be a tikkun?
That's Shmuel... The trouble with us is that we know the halacha as it is based on old derabbanans and so on. But if you go back to the original doraisas, then there's no reason why the bezin shouldn't paskin that
there was a Rabbi
on the contrary. There's Zidu Yadin,
Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Abba right up top there in that cave.
Correct.
Also, this is
so Rabbi Osai, look. Now we're going to start today's shiur. Everything else was a basically a reiteration of what we did last week. Okay, then. But I do feel compelled, and you'll tell me, I need your feedback here, because this is an experiment of sorts. At least on Sundays, you know, to start with, to start with some sort of review, because over Shabbos, a lot of things happen. You know, like, for example, my grandson, the Shabbos, you know, read all the Parshas Ki Tetzeh with Haftorah. So a lot, you know, like, there's before Shabbos and after Shabbos, you know, it's a whole new week. So if that's okay with you, to give sort. But now we start this year. So if everyone could open up to Masechet Sanhedrin, and believe it or not, the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin is the source for Rabbi Shimon, who says that in the case of Chovil Umavrin, those two malachas, Yechayev, even though it's a kilkul. And the Gemara's language, the Gemara's language here in the last two lines in Sanhedrin, Pei Dalet Amud Beis, there's an extra Sanhedrin somewhere around. Maybe I can pass it over to her. Okay. And the Gemara says, "Man," this is the last two lines on Pei Dalet Amud Beis, "Man Shamit Lei." Who is the opinion that holds that the Omar, he says, Mekalkel Bechabura Chayov? Reb Shimon. Good. So our goal for today, and maybe we could even get beyond this, is to learn Tosis Dibra Maschil Man. Okay then? Are we ready for that? All right. Plukta de Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, b'makalkel b'chaburo, b'makalkel b'avara, lo matzinu b'feirush, lo b'mishnah, v'lo b'braisa, period. This Tosfos is a reiteration of, we're already privy to this information, because we know the Rashi in Masechta Kiddushin on Daf Kuvah. And Rashi, in Masechta Shabbos, sorry, on Daf Kuvah. And Rashi's already told us, lo is parash hecha, that we don't have any source that would, in Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, that would justify that Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell me that Chovel of Mavir is Potter Mekalkel, and Rabbi Shimon says that Chovel of Mavir is Chayev Mekalkel. Ubiperika Oreg, but in that sugya in Shabbos Kuvav, Dachak. Now, what does that tell you when you see the word Dachak?
It tells what's going to fight Rashi.
Exactly. Excellent, Ben. That tells us it's going to fight Rashi tooth and nail. In other words, when you give Rashi a grade and you call him Dachak, that's not a very good grade. It's hardly even passable. I don't know. Some countries, 60
is passable. The attack is on the way.
The attack is on the way. Excellent. Dachak Rashi Lefarish. Rashi says, where do we derive this conclusion about Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon? The Nafka, we derive it Miplukta, from the old machlokas that we're familiar with. The Malacha Sheinet Tzricha Leguf. And what is Rabbi Shimon old? Potter Ale. According to Rabbi Shimon, you're Potter. Hilkach. It's interesting that Tosus, when he presents Rashi, he reverses the order. He starts with Rabbi Shimon. Eilach Achovel Umavir She'enu Mekalkel. By definition, Chovel Umavir is always Mekalkel. Wait a minute, what do you mean it's always Mekalkel? Let's say I burn some trees in a campfire in order to put my pot and heat my food on the fire. Why is that called kilkul? Says Rashi, afilu mavir eitzim l'tavshilo, even if he's burning down his wood in order to cook his pot on the fire, mekalkel hu eitzel ha eitzim. Again, this is Reb Shimon who holds that. What kind of tzarif do you need? What's the key word for Reb Shimon?
Gufa.
Excellent, Dan. Gufa. So we need gufa, which is what? The eitzim themselves. The eitzim are going up in smoke. That's not really warming my food in the pot. So again, mashu mitaken eitzel acherim, the fact that as far as the food is concerned in the kedera, I am improving the food. L'Rabbi Shimon lo chashiv le. That doesn't cut the mustard. That doesn't live up to your standard of litzoret. Guf adam alacha shen itzrichol gufehi. Imkain. If therefore ki chiev hakosiv chovel umavir, chovel in the parsha of Mila and mavir in the parsha of bas koyin shezinsa. Is in Kenki Chayva Kosuv or Chieva Kosuv? I guess you'd read it. Chieva Kosuv Chovel Umavim and it's Rikul Mishrei Mila. We also have Oral Baskoin Al Korchach B'Makalkel Nami Chayov B'Makalkel. The word Nami is a little bit confusing. Nami also B'Makalkel Chayov. I would leave out the word Nami. The word Nami is here only to point out that even if it would be a pure kilkul without any sort of tzorech, he would still be Chayov. Avol Rabbi Yehuda, and as I said, for some reason Tosfos presents Rashi switches the order when he gets to Rabbi Yehuda. Svirle Malach Shen Tzrich LeGufa Chayev Ale Hilkach Chiyuv DeChovel B'Tzarach LeKalbo. Umavir Bitzarachli Afro Mishkachasle, we can find a valid case in which these two malachas are malachas tikun and they're not malachas malachos of kilkul. And why is that? Because Rabbi Yehuda introduces a broader definition of litzorech and validates even tikun etzel acherim, as Rashi is going to say, quoted by Tosfos Af Al Pi Shemekalkulates a malacha atzma, which in other words is, if you want to turn this into our language, gufa shel malacha, he calls it atzma misakin hu etzel acherim. Why? Because it's a tikun for the kelev, it's a tikun for the afer. Rabbi Yehuda, given Rabbi Yehuda's broader definition of tzorach b'chiyai gavn in those cases where he has an external need for it, malacha he is considered a valid malacha mishum tikun di acherim. Avol mekalkel v'eino metakein, but if it's pure mekalkel and there's no tikun etzel acherim, patur. Lashon ha-kuntres kasavt. And this is all a quote of kuntres, right? I had a Rebbe in high school who used to call it notebooks, you know, because Tosis had the notebooks, the Kutresim of Rashi. There was no printing press at the time of Rashi. Hashta, Hodi, Amin, and Hossam, the Perka Oreg. Now it comes out, according to Rashi's presentation, we had a stira, if you recall, in Perika Oreg, meaning on Daf, Kufay, and Beis, Kufay, and Al, between the Mishnah that said, Kol HaMakal Kibturim, and the price of Rabbi Avo that said, Chutzmi, Chovel, Umavir. Now it comes out the following. Is Tani Rabbi Avo Kami de Rabbi Yochanan Kol HaMakal Kibturim, Chutzmi, Chovel, Umavir. And Omar Leh and Rabbi Yochanan said in response to Rabbi Avo's brisa, "Puk Tony Luvra, take it and throw it out. It's not a valid brisa. Chovel umavir in a Mishnah because chovel umavir require tikkun, just like the other 37 malachas." Is mashma mitok pirusha kuntres to Rabbi Avo, who says that a chovel umavir yachayev, even though, despite the fact that these are malachas of kilkul, kirev shimon. Rabbi Avo reflects the shita of Rabbi Shimon, which by the way is not so terrible, because we actually paskin like Rabbi Shimon that malach shein tzrich l'gufa is potter. So the fact that Rabbi Avo is expressing and reflecting Rabbi Shimon, I would give him touche for that. I mean, that's
keep him in the Beit Midrash, not keep him out.
Yeah, right, exactly. We should keep him in the Beit Midrash because he's just reflecting the halacha of malach shein tzrich l'gufa potter. Rabbi Yochanan, who's so upset about this price of Rabbi Avo, Deboy, and he requires Tzarech Lekabel Yafro Ki Rabbi Yehuda. And here you would press the return button, because at this point Tosis has completed his presentation of Rashi, and now the new paragraph is Et Tema. I can't understand Rashi. Number one, let's count up the objections of Tosis to Rashi. Number one, Im Kain, if Rashi is correct, Amai Omale, why does Rabbi Yochanan turn to Rabbi Avo and say, Puk, Tani Livra, take it and throw it out? Atu, shall we say, Mishum Desvir like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Avo. No, I'm sorry, because the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, whereas the Brisa reflects the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, is mandatoni ki Rabbi Shimon. If we have a Brisa that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, mashtikle, we should shut him up and tell him that's not a valid Brisa? And then he quotes a Gemara in Chulin, which applies the same logic. And the Gemara says, you don't throw out a brisa, even if it objects to a Mishnah, it contradicts a Mishnah, if that brisa reflects one of the valid shitas amongst the Tanoim. And I would add here a footnote, and how much more so in the case of Rav Shimon of Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, we accept the shita of Rav Shimon about Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. Ad kan Kusha Alf. Now we get to Kusha Beis. The Ode, Ichashiv Tikun Gomur. Tzorach lekabel ofra my nokat. Am I nokat chovel umavir? What was this whole discussion here about chovel umavir? There's such a great debate here about chovel umavir. Forget about chovel umavir. As Don said very well before, we're just applying the universal principle of lach shein tzricha l'gufa chayav. And therefore, chovel umavir, in the case of tzricha, she'ena tzricha l'gufa, right? I meant to say Shein. Did I say Shein Tzricha Legufa? That's what I meant to say. Anyway, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayav. And as we apply that to Chovel Mavra, we're going to say Yechayav even though it's a Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. There's no difference essentially between Chovel and Ma'avir and all the other Malachas. Just like we apply the principle of Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa Chayav to all the Malachas, we're going to apply it to Chovel and Ma'avir as well. And Yechayav because even though it's Ein Tzricha Legufa, but it's Tzricha because you need it for the Dam and you need it for the Afer. So this whole discussion here from Yehuda in the case of Chovel and Ma'avir doesn't seem to be justified, because what you're doing is you're applying the same yardstick that you would apply to the other 39 malachas, the Chovel and Ma'avir. I could have given you another 37 examples to illustrate that Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayav. That's Tosus' second kasha on Rashi. One second, I just want to digest one thought. Feeling Timsa Lomar Mishnah. Right, let me just add one more sentence because I forgot to make this point. This second question of Tosus the Ode is focused on the line in Kuvav Amid Aleph, the Imtim Salam Mishnah. What is the Imtim Salam Mishnah? You remember that Rabbi Yochanan made a valiant attempt at justifying the Braisa of Rabbi Avo. And he said that the Braisa of Rabbi Avo is talking about Chovel Vitzarech Lekalbo, Dam Lekalbo, or Mavir Vitzarech Liafra. Says Tosus, if that Braisa, according to Rabbi Yochanan's fallback position, when he says the Imtim Salam Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, then what's Chutzmi Chovel Umavir? It's not Chutzmi Chovel Umavir. There's no great shakes in Chovel Umavir. Chovel Umavir will be subject to all the rules that the other 37 malachas are subject to, namely that we require a tzorech, and it's got to be a Meleches Tikkun, and Rabbi Yehuda has the expanded definition of Tikkun Eitzel Acherim, that's enough to make it into Litzorach, and therefore Melech Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayav. We wanted to suggest, perhaps, that the Chiddush of the Braisa is that the Braisa is talking to Rav Shimon and saying that, Rav Shimon, you want to assume that Chovel Umavir are the exceptions to the rule, because essentially these are Melechos of Kilkul, so the Braisa, if it's authored by Rabbi Yehuda, is coming to point out that Chovel Umavir, I do have in those two malachas respectively a scenario in which he is litzorek, he has a tzorek. Then he has a third kasha Tosus, and he says v'od on the second of the white lines, the Reb Shimon afil b'chovil umavir boi shetehei tzricha legufa kidemasik b'shmaitin gabi chovil. So that's actually the Gemara on Daf Pei Hei Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin, which we don't have in our photocopy. Does anybody here have a Gemara Sanhedrin by chance? Anyway, the Gemara establishes that even according to Rabbi Shimon, in the case of Mekalkel B'chabura, it is considered some sort of a tzrichel. You could have in Chovel Umavir, and you require in Chovel Umavir a tzricha legufa situation. So that's what Shmuel, you were pointing out last week, that if I would take gold and it's got impurities in it and subjected to a fire, a process of kura barsa, what we call, in order to remove those impurities, that lechora would be a case of tzricha legufa. Now the last thing that we discussed.
I have to check up on Avi.
Yeah, go ahead. The last thing that we discussed, Rabosai, is the following question, and I want to add the Mishnah Brura to that discussion, because although we photocopied it, we never got a chance to look at it. why does Rabbi Shimon need the concept of Mekalkel? What do I mean? If according to Rabbi Shimon, the Tzorech of Tikkun Eitzel Acherim is not valid, that's Rabbi Shimon's Shita, that Malach Shein Tzvichu Gufa is Potur, then by definition, either it's a Malachas Tikkun and Yechayev, or it's a Malachas Shein Tzvichu Gufa and you're Potur. There's no scenario, according to Rashi, in which you have a Malachas Mekalkel, which would again, this is a double negative, but which would not be Malach Shein Tzvichu L'Gufa. Let me say it in the positive. Every case of Mekalkel, by definition, according to Rashi, is going to be a Malach Shein Tzvichu L'Gufa. Because what's Mekalkel? Mekalkel means I don't need the Guf Shel Malach. No, that's called a Malach Shein Tzvichu L'Gufa. If I need the Guf Shel Malach, then it's a Malach Shein Tzvichu L'Gufa. So why does Reb Shimon need this concept of Mekalkel? It doesn't add anything. And here's where the Shita Mekubetzes came up with his thesis that if you have trei taimi, then it's potru muta, which means that if you can piggyback on top of Malach Shein Tzvichu L'Gufa also Mekalkel, and you have an overlap of both, then it's muta l'chatchil. So I just wanted to point out to you that the Mishnah Brura in his Bir Halacha, I don't know if he's aware of the Shita Mekubetzes or not, but he comes to the exact opposite conclusion. And he says that afilu im haya mekalkel v'gam malacha shein etzricha l'gufa, even if I were to have a double, right, let's call it an overriding, we'll call it tarti l'reivsa, you know, two reasons why it's not a malacha, ulamanda poter malacha shein etzricha l'gufa. He's saying, even if we accept Rabbi Shimon, and we have a case now that's both Malach Shein Tzvichu L'Gufa and Mekalkel at the same time, afilu hachi, nevertheless, asur isur yesh bazeh. And now he's going to quote our sugya as a proof that even when you can overlap both Malach Shein Tzvichu L'Gufa and Mekalkel at the very same time, nevertheless, it would still be asur. V'raya, Mishabes daf kufhei omid beis v'korea al meso. So we're talking about a case, if you recall, where he rips his garment after the death of one of his of somebody. Who is that somebody? Di ukma gemara l'masnisin, and the gemara interprets the Mishnah b'meis the alma. That why is he potter for Koreal Meso? Because it's not one of his relatives. The Alma, we see from that, Avi Bechlal Mekalkel. So if he rips his garment and there's no Kiyum HaMitzvah in that Kriya, then it's Mekalkel. The garment at the same time, it's a Malach Shein Tzvichu L'Gufa. Meaning, in Kriya, you needed to rip the curtains in order to improve and fix up the curtains. And yet the Mishnah says that Koreal Meso is Potter. And the Lashon of Potter, whenever it says in the Mishnah word Potter, it automatically means also. So we have now, again, I'm going to say something that in the yeshiva world they would laugh at me for saying this because of the language I'm using, but we have that machlokas between the Shita Mekubetzes and the Mishnah Brura. That's a little bit amusing because the Shita Mekubetzes was about 5 centuries
so
before the Mishnah
Brura. To
put them together with the Mishnah Brura. But the question that the Mishnah Brura, I think, would ask the Shita Mekubetzes is, why does the Mishnah say that Koreal Meso is Potur? Koreal Meso should be Mutter, according to the Shita Mekubetzes, because here's an overlap of both Malach Shein Tzvichu L'Gufa and Mekalkel.
Maybe it is
Shechel
Gufa because of the mitzvah, right? That's what we said. Made it
into. Well, again, the Gemara assumes that it's Malach Shein Tzvichu L'Gufa, because if it's Tzvichu L'Gufa, then according to Rashi Shita, automatically it becomes a Malachas Tikkun. And that's where Rabbi Yehuda comes to the fore. That if I need it for my purposes, like to vent my anger, or in the case of Meso, maybe I'm anguished over the loss of a friend or whoever he might be, even though there's no mitzvah kriya, that itself would be a tzorech, and that would convert a meleches kilkul into a meleches tiglin. But since we're passing like Rav Shimon, that your personal need is not enough. Right, so somebody died. He's not your relative, so there's no kiyuv mitzvahs kriya, and Reb Shimon would therefore, by definition, call it a malach shein tzricha legufa.
He's saying if everybody agreed with the shita mekubetzes, kriya on Shabbat would be a mitzvah.
What do you mean would be a mitzvah? A kriya on Shabbat would be a mitzvah. Which mitzvah?
On Shabbat. If you heard someone died, then you should kriya because there are two reasons it should be mutter.
Well, according to Reb Shimon, let me go through the logic here, the mathematics. If you all like Reb Shimon, and the Shita Mekubetzes, that if it's both a malacha shein tzricha leguf. No, again, even Reb Shimon agrees that if there's a tikkun l'shem mitzvah, okay, that's going to be the sugi that we want to look at now in Mila, but even if it's a tikkun l'shem Mila, that itself should make it into a tikkun. So that would certainly be awesome Shabbos. That's a meleches kriya, because there is a tikkun here. So when you say there would be a mitzvah kriya, I'm afraid to say that. The Gemara establishes that this case of kriya, which is also on Shabbos, is lav didei, right? It's the alma, it's mace the alma. There is no bits of kriya, and therefore it's a pure kilkul. Okay, so let's not get into that yet, although maybe during chavrusa time we'll get back into it. But what I want to do with you now, how many minutes do we have left? Where's my watch?
It's 10:30.
Oh, it's just 10:30. All right, so let me give you a little bit of
27.
Okay, so we have to. So let me give you a little bit of homework for the sugi that we want to see. We're back on Daf Kuvav Amud Aleph, and we started with the Gemara of my time in the Rebbe Shimon, which we said was right smack in the middle of the page, and we want to get down until four lines above the end of the page. You see where it says Shir HaMalabin. So up to, but not including Shira Malabin. We're not learning Meleches Malabin. So that's for a future date, hopefully. But up until the two dots before Shira Malabin. Okay, that's what we want to focus on. Now let me point out to you two very, very important Rashis over here. Okay then? Now we're going to count up from the bottom of the page in Rashi. Rashi, of course, is on your right side. And we're going to look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 2nd, I'm sorry. Let me start again. Going up from the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So it's 9 lines up from the bottom. And it starts with the words Mali Mesaken Kli. Now, right now, those words of Rashi might not mean anything to you because you didn't see the Gemara. But the Gemara up to that two dots, which is 4 lines up from the bottom, that's going to tell you, that's going to give you a svar called Mali Letaken Mila. And the Gemara is going to argue that Mila itself is a tikkun, which undermines the whole thesis of Rabbi Shimon. And then the Gemara is going to, so that's the Rashi Mali Mitake. Now, keep in mind here, so you shouldn't get confused, the Gemara doesn't assume that Mila is healthy. I mention this because some of the Mefarshim back at the time the Rambam came up with this thesis that Mila is healthy for the body. It avoids certain types of diseases. But Rashi's not assuming that. So don't introduce those kinds of svaras to Rashi. Rashi speaks about something called Tikkun Gavra. But I don't think that Tikkun Gavra has anything to do with health purposes. Alright, whatever. Then we want to look at the next piece of Gemara there, which I told you up until the two dots. And the Gemara thinks that there's something called Bishul Psila, and that itself is a Meleches Tikkun. So we want to look at that Rashi, Bishul Psila. So basically, we have about six lines in the Gemara and about four lines in Rashi. That's number one. Then we move on to what's called a Trumas Hadeshen. Now this Trumas Hadeshen is very long, and we're going to have to determine for ourselves, you'll give me another few minutes after the Shia to determine how to learn this Trumas Hadeshen. And then Tzvi, maybe you'll be able to help us photocopy the Trumas Hadeshen. But what I would like you to look at is a sugya that we've been referring to over and over again, but we never got a chance to learn it inside. So I need you to write down the following. Chagiga daf yud omen alf. And we'll take it also for the next two lines on yud omen beis, so we'll have to photocopy both Chagiga Yud Amin Aleph and Yud Amin Beis. Maybe we'll put them on two sides of a page. And the Gemara begins on Chagiga Daf Yud Amin Aleph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 lines up from the bottom of the page. You'll see two dots. Hilchas Shabbos. So again, so we have 3 items on the agenda for today. Number one is to finish up the sugya of Chovel Umavir Mitzvah Hashem, and that's with the two Rashis that I mentioned, Mali Lesak Mesak and Kli, and Bishul B'Psila. The second item on the agenda just one second. Is a Trumas Hadeshen. I'm going to have to figure out how to get that to you. If I can get access to Bar Ilan, if that computer in the office is free, I'll be able to print that out for you. And finally, the Gemara Chagig on Daf Yud Amid Aleph, going on to Yud Amid Beis. Was there a Gemara Shabbos here?
Yeah.
Okay. I could trouble you for the Gemara Shabbos, because I think I may want to add one other thing. Sorry. See, it's a little tricky, and that's why I missed it. You have a copy of Kuvavim and Aleph, and there's a Tosus here, which is sort of hidden away. And that's why I missed it. So let me try to show you where it is. It's easy to miss it. The last Tosus on the page starts with which words? Diyama, right? So that's my mistake, and you made the same mistake that I did. So misery loves company. Right. But for some reason, the printer decided to use the same line for the next tosis, Mali. And that's a tosis that I want you to look at. Now, that tosis is humongous. It's gigantic. So let's just learn the first part of this tosis. We don't have to do the entire tosis. Do you see where Tosfos says V'im Tomar Vav Aleph Tov? That's where I want you to get up to. So we're starting with Ein Lefarish. Those are the beginning line, the beginning of the second, right, which is the first line of that Tosfos. And then he quotes on the fourth line down V'Omer Ri. You see that? The Omer Reed?
Yes.
And then about four lines or five lines below that, which is about eight lines from the top of the Tosfos, in the middle of that line it says V'im Tomar. Okay then? So again, Tosfos Dibur HaMaskil Mali, and the first, let's say, eight, 9 lines of that Tosfos. So in effect, we have here on Daf Kuvav a piece of Gemara, two Rashis, half of a Tosfos. Then I owe you the Trumas HaDeshen, and then I want you to look at Chagiga Daf Yudam and Aleph Yudam and Beis, the last piece of Gemara on Yudam and Aleph with the two dots. Okay then? Now, as I always repeat, if we can find ourselves chavrusas, you know, that would be great. And, you know, we're still in the experimental stage, but we're getting towards that stage in which we should all have, you know, our set chavrusas. Okay then? So we'll stop here.